If you haven't been with us, last week we started a new series called Summer Road Trip, where it was inspired by a vacation that my family took, and I just felt like the Lord showed me so many things from a road trip, from a vacation, and how they parallel with our faith journey. And so if you weren't here last week, we looked at planning your trip, and I'd encourage you to go online and listen to that if you missed that. But we related this trip to the journey of faith throughout our lives. And today we're going to look at baggage. Somebody say baggage. Anybody got any baggage? Anybody bring any baggage to church with them today? You know, we say some things like leave your baggage at the door, but I actually prefer that people bring their baggage into church. That way you can be set free and you can leave here without it. Amen? Don't leave it on the door where you're going to grab it again on your way out. Bring it in here and leave it at the altar at the feet of Jesus. Amen? So today we're looking at baggage. And when you pack your bags for a trip, there's typically two types of packers, right? You got those that pack light, right? They just grab the bare minimum, or maybe not even everything that they need. They just throw stuff in a bag, they're out the door, they're ready to go. And then you have those who pack everything. Everything in the house, things that you're like, you don't even use that at home. How could you possibly think that you're gonna need that on our trip today or this week? But they pack heavy, everything. But I tell you what, if you need something when you're on the trip, guess what? They're gonna have it, okay? So you got the two kinds of packers. And if we're being honest, you know, if you're a light packer like me, okay, I'm not only a light packer, but I'm also a last minute packer. Listen, as long as my clothes are clean, that's all I need. Like, I just put stuff in a bag and I leave. But here's the thing is, if I'm being honest, every time we go somewhere, I need something that's in my wife's bag. Every single time I'm like, hey, did you happen to bring some toothpaste? Because I didn't, you know? And so we need those heavy packers on a road trip. But how many of you know that on a road trip, on a vacation, your baggage is important, right? Your baggage is important because what you bring with you affects your trip. The things that you have affect your trip. And so this morning, what we're going to do here is I'm going to encourage everybody spiritually do an inventory. We're going to check our bags this morning. So some of you last minute packers like me, you might be checking your bags for the first time. Some of you that pack your bag all through the week or the month before a trip, we're going to look again so you make sure that you have everything that you need this morning. So if you're following along today, you can turn to Matthew chapter 11. It'll also be up here on the screen. Verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love this verse because Jesus says, all who are weary, all who are burdened. I don't know anybody who's never weary and never burdened, right? Everybody can say there's been some point in my life I've been weary, I've been tired. There's been some point in my life I've been burdened, I've been carrying something. I feel like I need a rescue, I need a break. And so we can always say that we've been in that place, but I would say that I'm always, at least to a degree, in one of those places. I'm always either tired or I'm burdened. Sometimes I'm tired and I'm burdened, and Jesus says, I've got the answer to that. Come to me. He says, come to me. And what does he say that he will give us if we come to him? Rest. He says, I will give you rest, but I love the Word of God. I love what Cheryl shared earlier. The Word of God is so amazing and it's so important to our lives because we need to read it, we need to know it, but we also need to pay attention to it because he says, not just that I'll give you rest. See, I think a lot of times we think, I'm weary and I'm burdened, and if I go to Jesus with it, then I'm going to have energy. I'm not going to be tired anymore. I'm going to be geared up and ready to go. No, he says, I have rest for what? For your soul. He doesn't say, I have rest for your body. You know what rest for your body is? Take a break. Take a nap. Sit down. get some, like, we decide if we get rest for our body. He doesn't say, come to me if you're tired and burdened and I'll give your body rest. He says, I'll give your soul rest. I'll tell you what, it's important that we get this rest for our soul because it's our mind, will, and our emotions. It's the one thing that we often try to give rest. And when we're trying to give it rest, we often make it more weary and more burdened. It's something that I believe that only God can properly do. So God gives us rest for our soul. Why is that important? Because our soul is that part of us that is constantly working. It's constantly wrestling. Our mind, our will, our emotions are constantly wrestling between the flesh and the spirit, between what we want to do and what God wants us to do. It's constantly moving. It's constantly working. It's like our soul is in a lifelong game of tug of war. Anybody ever played tug of war before? How many of you guys were like the anchor, right? I mean, listen, when I was in school, it was like you always put the biggest person as the anchor. It's not the biggest person. It's the person with the most endurance. That's who needs to be at the anchor because you've got to hold and stay holding no matter what. But you're in that tug of war. I mean, you start to get weary, right? Even the strongest person at some point can start to get weary. Your muscles start to shake. You start to give in a little bit. And before you know it, you're yanked across the line. Our soul is in a constant game of tug of war. It's in a constant game of tug of war. And it needs rest. It's weary. It is burdened. And so when you go on a road trip, can I tell you that your baggage determines the quality of your rest? When we flew this last time, we flew on Spirit Airlines. Anybody ever flown on Spirit Airlines before? Okay, we flew Spirit Airlines because it was really cheap. But, and you know, me being a pastor, I had to joke, I hope this is the Holy Spirit Airlines. It turned out it was not. You know why? Because I had to pay for it. It wasn't free. It was not Holy Spirit Airlines. It was just Spirit Airlines. In fact, not only was it not free, but you had to pay extra for everything. You want to sit down, you pay extra. Right? No, I'm just kidding. You got a seat, but that was it. Anything else you wanted on this flight, you had to pay more money for. This is what you got for free, a backpack. Well, you know, you didn't even get to bring your own backpack, but you could bring a backpack for free. That was it. You wanted a carry-on, you paid for it. You want a check bag, you paid for it. If you wanted anything to eat or drink, you paid for it. If you want to pick your seats, you paid for it. If you want to board early, you paid. I mean, you paid for everything that you wanted on this trip. And then, not only that, but if you check a bag, it can only be 40 pounds. If it's over 40 pounds, you pay for it. Okay, so everything that you want, everything that could be a luxury, you would have to pay for. So me and my family, for a week-long trip, I'm like, guys, we can do this. We can get everything we need in four backpacks. And the ladies are like, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, oh yeah, we can do four backpacks. And they're like, no, I don't think we can. And so so we compromised. We did one checked bag, okay, and four backpacks. And so it was like, pack everything you possibly can in your backpack, and then whatever is left, we'll just have a community checked bag that will throw all the extra stuff in. And now we need to make some decisions. What do we really need? Because it's just one checked bag. What do we really need? Because I don't want to be paying for something that I don't need. So we get all packed up, and then we got to weigh the bag. I don't know about you if you've ever done this before, but man, this is stressful. You get on the scale, okay, so I'm the one that does this. I get on the scale, pull it out in the living room, I get on it. I'm like, all right, that's what I weigh without the bag. Somebody hand me the bag. I grab the bag, now I can't see the scale, okay? So I'm like, all right, what does it say? And then they're like, we move a little bit, we can't see it. And they're kind of like, you're trying to figure out what this bag weighs, and you're like, whew, all right, we are under. We are under, and then it's like, well, could we put no, we're good. We're good to go. Let's go with what we've got. We've got our bag, and we're under. And so then you get to the airport, and you're like, all right, that bag was 39 pounds at home, right? I can only be 40. And when you go to put it on that scale, you start to sweat a little bit. You start to feel a little bit nauseated. You're like, I know they're going to tell me that thing is like 40 and a half pounds. Like my scale at home that's right every other day of the week is not right when I'm holding the 40-pound bag. And you put that thing up there and you're sweating it out. It's so stressful. And you're like, man, maybe we didn't need all that stuff. Like, is there something we're going to have to take out of there? And I'm thinking about what can I throw in the trash, right, that we thought was so important, we had to have it, but now I got to throw it away. What's the heaviest item in there? And you start thinking all of these thoughts. Church, I want to tell you, this is what spiritual baggage is like in our lives. This is what spiritual baggage is like. We're on this faith journey. We've got our baggage along with us. Some of it's necessary for the trip. Some of it is completely unnecessary for the trip, but we like it, we want it. Some of it we're just not even sure about, but we carry it along just in case. And we all have a limit as to what we can carry, right? We all have limits as to what we can carry when it comes to spiritual baggage. And I want to tell you that when it comes time to check our bags, listen, I want to tell you that Satan will make you pay for the overage. He will make you pay for everything that you're carrying that you don't need, that you shouldn't have with you, that you should have just left at home anyway. He's going to say, there's a price for that. You want to bring it with you? That's fine. There's a price that comes along with that. Bring it if you'd like, but as long as you're willing to pay the price. Can I tell you that Satan doesn't know grace? Satan doesn't know grace. In fact, he says, put it on the scale. And his scale is probably rigged. It's probably broke. He'll make you pay for every ounce. But here's the deal. This is the conclusion that I came to, is in life, we try to blame Satan for the cost of us carrying around baggage. It'd be like when I get to the airport and I'm like, well, it's your fault that you're charging me for having 41 pounds, right? It's your fault. You shouldn't charge me for carrying that. If I want it, then I ought to bring it. No, you can bring it, but there's a price. And I think we do this with the devil sometimes. No, if I want to carry it, I should be able to, and you should just leave me alone. And he says, no, there's a price for the baggage. It's not his fault. You're the one who chooses to carry around 52 pounds of baggage in a 40-pound bag. You're the one that chooses what you carry and what you leave behind. And we think he's wrong for charging, but the real issue is we're carrying things that we should not be carrying. He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But then he says, not just that, but he says, learn from me. Right? Learn from me. Learn from my example. Learn from what Jesus carried around as he ministered through life. Look at his journey and what he carried with him. Do you think Jesus maybe was weary at times? Do you think Jesus was burdened at times? I think about the fact that, you know, he came before Lazarus' grave and he wept. It tells you that he was burdened. It tells you that he was weary when he sat down at the well to minister to that woman at the well. He was physically tired. He was weary. He was in a place where he was in the garden and he was telling the Father, if this cup could pass, like, let it pass, right? He was mentally, right? His soul was weary. He was burdened. But what did he actually carry along his journey? How do we see him react and treat and relate toward people? We see that what he carried with him was peace. What he carried with him was love. What he carried with him was joy. He carried the things that were necessary for his trip. So what's necessary for your trip, church? Do you consider the weight of extra baggage? Has anybody ever been in that place where you're at the airport and your bag is overweight? I've been in this place one time where it was overweight and you're like, oh man, all right, what do we do? And then, of course, this is the time where there's not one person behind you. There's 274 people behind you. And they're like, sir, we need a decision. Sir, are you checking your bag? Sir, are you going to pay the $800 to bring that extra pound of bag? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's too much pressure to deal with right now. And you're like, what can I do with this? What can I do with these couple of things? And what would happen if you were with other people. They would say, hey, I've got room in my bag. Like, take that brick out of your bag, put it in my bag. I got it. I'll take it. I will carry that for you. I can carry that. It's too much for you, but I can carry that. Can I tell you that that's what Jesus does for us? Right? He says, come to me if you're weary and burdened, right? And yoke up with me. My burden is light. He says, I will carry it for you. Satan makes you pay for the extra baggage. And Jesus says, hey, unload some of that on me. I can carry it for you. And here's the thing. It won't cost you anything at all. It won't cost you anything at all. Just let me carry it for you. I can handle that for you. So what is the baggage that you're carrying around today that you do not need to carry? What are those things that you, they're weighing you down and Satan's making you pay for them, and Jesus is standing there saying, if you just give that to me, right? If you just give that to me, I can lighten your load. It's free of charge. I will take that for you. Are there things that you go on a trip where you think, I can get that when I get there? I do this all the time. We're always going to Walmart when we get to where we're going, right? I mean, that's what you get off the plane, you're like, Uber, take me to Walmart, because we probably got to go there and get something anyway. So I always think about, what can I get once I get there? I don't necessarily need everything. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending them out, and he says, now go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. And what he's getting at here is Jesus is saying, on our faith journey, he's saying, I don't want you to carry anything that's unnecessary, anything that I didn't provide for you. Like, you only need what I'm going to give you. You don't need to bring all that other stuff. Just take what I have for you. Leave the extra junk behind. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All your needs. Say, all my needs.
All my needs.
He says, my God will supply them. Whatever you need on your journey, whatever you need in this faith journey of your life, my God will supply every single need. That's one of those promises that Cheryl was talking about. My God will supply. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say he'll think about it. It doesn't even say that this one is conditional. It says that he will supply all of your needs. Every single one of them. It literally means, if you look at that word supply in the Greek, it means that he will fill it to the full. Like, that there will be nothing lacking. There will be nothing that you need. He'll supply every bit of it 100%. And when my God supplies all of your needs, listen, you won't have room for anything else because he filled it to the full. Right? So he says, you got to have some room in your bag for me to put something in there. If you want what God has for you, what he supplies for your journey, you've got to give him room to work. And I wonder if sometimes maybe that's part of our problem, is that we're carrying so much of our own baggage, our own mess, our own garbage, that we don't give God any room to work with. Sorry, Lord, my bag is full. I am at 40 pounds, sir, and I need all this stuff. And he's like, good luck, man. You're going scuba diving. You forgot swimming trunks. I got them right here, right? I mean, he knows everything that we need for our journey. And it says that he will give us all of those things to the full. If we don't leave room for him and we fill up things on our own, we think about, how much can I carry? How much can I carry and not leave room for God to supply for all of my needs? Who's traveled with kids before, right? I mean, especially like younger kids or husbands, okay? Let's be honest, okay? If you've traveled with kids, maybe your husband is like this. I can say that because I know that I tend to be like this, right? Again, kids will just bring the minimum. Kids are like, we're going to the beach. I got swimming trunks. I got flip-flops. Good to go. And then the mom's like, where's your towel? Oh, well, I thought you were getting my towel. Where's your sunscreen? Oh, I thought you were getting the sunscreen. What about a shirt? Oh, I thought you were getting the shirt, the umbrella, all this other stuff is all left for the mom to get. When packing for a road trip, this part of packing, their kids will bring the minimum, they'll bring what they think that they need, and then the parents are left carrying the rest of the baggage. Honestly, again, this happens to me sometimes where I'm like, I don't really think about those things, and then my wife's like, I got it for you, right? It's right here. You did forget it, but I got it for you. So on a road trip, a real road trip, a lot of times the parents are stuck carrying extra. They're carrying things that maybe they don't even need, but somebody else might need it. And isn't this kind of how it is in a faith journey too? A lot of times the parents are stuck carrying extra. I'm carrying all this stuff for my kids. If you don't have kids, maybe you're carrying all this stuff for your friends, for your spouse, for your neighbor. You're carrying all this extra weight, all this extra stuff. How many times do we find ourselves lugging around extra weight that does not even belong to us, but we're carrying it for someone else? Listen, we should care about what other people are going through. And in fact, I believe we should be intercessors. I believe that what other people are going through should break our heart. It should mean something to us. We should pay attention to it. It should at times make us cry. It should drive us to our knees in prayer. But hear this, it's not meant for you to carry. It's not meant for you to carry with you all the day long. See, the baggage that we carry, it's not a part of us. It's just something that's with us that we choose to bring along. Sometimes we need to let it go. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. When we read this verse, a lot of times we kind of focus in on the big thing, sin. Let us lay aside every sin. Every sin, let's lay it aside. Praise God, let's do that. That's a good idea, but he actually says before that, let us lay aside every hindrance. Let us lay aside every hindrance. That word hindrance, I love it. If you don't know this, I like reading what stuff says in the Greek because it gives us so much more depth. But in the Greek, that word hindrance actually means burden or weight. So he says, let us lay aside every burden. Let us lay aside every weight. Why? So that we can run this race with endurance. We can run this faith journey with endurance. Listen, if you're carrying around other people's weight, it affects your journey. It affects your endurance. It affects how much you can do, how fast you can do it, how effective you can do it. You can't run effectively carrying everybody else's luggage. You ever see like on a, I've never seen this in real life in the airport, but you see it on TV, right? Where they're running late for the plane. Think Home Alone, right? They're running through the airport. They're late for the plane. And it's like the dad has like 80 bags. Everybody else is running, carrying nothing. And the dad's carrying everybody's bag and he's leading the pack. And I'm like, that is not realistic at all, right? He's carrying everything. He's not at the front of the pack. He's got less endurance, right? He's got more weight. He's going to be slower. He's going to be behind. Some of the times we have these burdens that we're carrying for other people that we need to give to Jesus. We need to exchange it for rest for our souls. So check your bags this morning. How are they affecting your journey? We have things that we need, baggage that we need. We have baggage we don't need. Sometimes when we look at our baggage and how we pack things, how we transport things, sometimes we have to care for and protect some of our baggage from the rest of our baggage. You know what I mean? Like I bought this mug from Las Vegas. It's a huge coffee mug. Like I can fit two of my normal cups of coffee in this mug. I love this mug just because of the size of it, because it reminds me of our trip that we took. And I drank too much coffee out of it this morning. It's probably why I'm the way that I am. But I remember as I was packing that mug to bring it back, right? They had it wrapped with the craft paper, and I put it inside like a shoe that was inside of another bag. And then Marissa had something kind of fragile and she's like, can I put that in there too? And I'm kind of like, I guess so. I'm kind of like, this is for my, you know, my treasure here that I'm trying to protect from my other baggage. And so I did that because I didn't want it to break, but I learned a lesson the other way one time. Sometimes you have to protect your, you know, your good baggage from your bad baggage. Christy and I went on a trip one time, and you know those sunscreen, the spray sunscreen? You got to twist the top to lock it or unlock it before you can push it down. Yeah, you need to check that before you put it in your bag. Okay, so I put it in my bag. We get to the hotel. I open up the bag, and somehow it ended up pointed directly at the side of my Bible, and somehow it got pushed in, and the whole top middle part of my Bible got sprayed with sunscreen. So still to this day, years later, those pages will re-stick, and I'm like peeling it apart. It's my go-to Bible, you know, so I'm like peeling it apart. So I learned a lesson from that, that now I take anything like that, not only do I make sure it's in the lock position, but it's going in its own bag inside of my bag, because I want to protect my good baggage from my bad baggage, the things that could cause harm. So the things I care about, like my Bible, I want protected from the rest of my baggage. Who here has let baggage affect God's word in their life? That's what I thought of when I was thinking about that this morning, as I was looking at that Bible and I see that spot on it, and I'm like, I let other baggage affect the word of God in my life. That page, I'm reminded of it over and over as I go to open those pages and they stick together a little bit. Over and over, that sometimes I let the baggage of life affect the truth of God in my life. How often do we do that? But you don't understand the hurt and the pain and the things that I'm going through. You don't understand the thoughts and the ideas that I have. What I understand is that sometimes we do let those things render the word of God ineffective in our lives, and we need to protect the word of God from the rest of our baggage. We need to declare that it's true no matter what. It's still the word of God. It's still good. It's still true, and I need to protect the word of God in my life from the rest of the baggage in my life. It's the truth of God's word that should actually be causing the extra baggage to be effective in our lives. It goes perfectly with what Cheryl was saying earlier, how important the word of God is. Because God says that I am loved, I know that I have value, right? Because God said that I am free, I know that I'm not bound, no matter how I feel, no matter what I think, right? We should let the word of God affect the rest of the baggage in our lives. What about the baggage that we keep close because we know that we will need it? Baggage we keep close. What about on a trip? Where do the snacks go? As close as possible, right? In the car, the snacks are going like, you know, right here or right here. Your wife's holding them. Some of the snacks are gonna be near in the car. On the airplane, the snacks were in the backpack, right? They're staying close, they're staying near. I say that the snacks are ACAP, as close as possible, right? You can start using that. I need the snacks ACAP. As close as possible, put them right here. And you think about, why do we need them so close? Why do we need them right there? Because I need them soon, and I'm going to need them frequently. Okay, that's just the way I travel. If you're driving, the best way to stay awake is to eat something. Okay, peanuts. Go with something that's light, peanuts or something. But you need them soon, you need them frequently. And this is where the word of God ought to be in our faith journey, church. We need it soon and we need it frequently. We need it right now and we need it all the time. We ought to keep it close and we've got to protect it from the sunscreen, right? You got to protect it from those other things that are in your life. Keep it close. The story of David and Goliath. I love this story. Everybody knows David and Goliath. You can talk to somebody that doesn't even know English. You could probably just say David and Goliath and they'd be like, oh yeah, David and Goliath. I know that, right? I mean, everybody knows this story, David and Goliath. And if you think about David and Goliath, if you know, we know what happened, we know kind of what David had went through once he got there. But have you ever thought about the fact that David was just a shepherd boy, right, whose father was sending back and forth to bring his brothers sandwiches, basically, bring them bread, check on them, see how they're doing, report back. And he's going back and forth because he's still tending for the flock, tending for the sheep. And so I thought about, well, when David got there, he looked at Goliath differently than all the soldiers did. Did you ever think about that? He looked at him differently. He was kind of like, what's the big deal? And these guys are like, what is the big, he's the big deal. Like, I mean, are you blind? What is wrong with you? But see, he saw things differently. And I was thinking about that. How did he see things so differently than the other soldiers did? I know that David came in the name of the Lord. It's my favorite thing that he says. He says, I come in the name of the Lord. But weren't all the other people there the Lord's army? I mean, they kind of had the same benefit as David, but he saw things differently. Why did he have a different point of view? When David went to check on his brothers, even before he knew Goliath was there, I want to tell you what he did. 1 Samuel 17, verse 22. It says, David left his supplies in the care of the quartermaster, and he ran to the battle line. When he arrived, he asked his brothers how they were. David left his supplies. Most translations say baggage. David left his baggage. He left his baggage. What did the Hebrew writer call our baggage? He said the weight, right? The burden. David left his weight. He left his baggage. He left his burdens behind, because when you do that, you can run with endurance. When you do that, you can see things differently. And so David arrives at the battlefield, and think about it. He did not come to fight. He came to bring a sandwich. He didn't come to fight, but he came free of every weight. He came free of every burden. He came free from every hindrance. He was ready for anything in his faith journey because he was not carrying baggage and weights that he was not meant to carry for that leg of the journey. See, so David arrives and he sees things differently. Why? Because he's not hindered. Church, it's time that we all become unhindered. Amen? It's time we all get to this place where we're ready for whatever life can throw at us. David had no idea he was going to fight a giant. He's just delivering sandwiches and going back and saying, Dad, the boys are fine. But he didn't come weighed down or burdened by anything that he wasn't supposed to be weighed down or burdened for. So therefore, he was ready for whatever God called him to do. It's time we do the same. He didn't come to fight a giant, but he came without burden. Why? So my God can supply every need that he has. Every need. King Saul, who was the king at the time. If you don't know much about Saul, he sometimes was a good king, sometimes was not such a good king. But Saul is the king at the time. And I want to show you the difference between David and Saul. Because Saul, when he was called to be king, it was about seven chapters earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22. It says this, Then they inquired of the Lord, Has the man come here yet? And the Lord replied, There he is, hidden among the supplies. Again, most translations say baggage. Saul was hidden among the baggage. Saul didn't leave the baggage behind, but he used the baggage as a shield. He used the baggage as something to hide behind in life. He hid behind the baggage. Can I tell you that the main reason that Christians are not free of the baggage that they're not meant to carry is because we too often like to hide behind the baggage? It's really quiet in here. We need a kid in here or something. We're not free from the baggage that we're not meant to carry because too often we like to hide behind the baggage. We like to be able to say, Well, yeah, but I can't because I'm not worthy, because I'm hurt, because I'm, you know, I'm burdened, I'm overwhelmed, I'm too busy. We got all these things, all this baggage that we're carrying that we ought to be leaving behind. You don't understand what my kids are going through, what my friend at work is going through. You don't understand what I've been through. Listen, Jesus tells us, come, right? Come to me if you're burdened. Come to me if you're weary, and I will give you rest for your souls. He tells us to leave aside all those things that hinder us. Don't hide behind it, but bring it to him and leave it behind. It's time that we move forward in life and we quit hiding behind our baggage. I think sometimes we're a little bit afraid because we would not know what to do if we weren't carrying that extra weight. We wouldn't know what to do. We think, well, what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do now that I'm not hindered? Live like free people. Right? What would you tell somebody to do if they're coming from a communist country to the United States of America? They'd be like, this is crazy. I wake up in the morning and I get to decide what to do. I don't know what I should do. And what would you tell them? Live like free people. Go and do what you want to do. Get up and go where you want to go today. Say what you want to say. Listen, if we would lay aside every hindrance in our lives, if we would let that baggage go, I'm telling you that as Christians, as believers, as born-again children of God, we could get up in the morning and we could do what we want to do. We could live like free people. We don't have to say, because I'm dealing with this, now I'm hindered and I can't do anything. I have to stay at home all day. No, we could live as free people. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? If you would stand to your feet this morning. And as we open up the altar, we're just going to give opportunity for people to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every burden this morning. I'm a firm believer in getting out of your comfort zone at church. I just am. I'm a firm believer in it. This is why. Because when you do the same old thing every single week, you can pretty much expect the same old result. And there's some of you have maybe sat in your pew or your chair week after week after week and thought, well, I keep giving this to the Lord. I keep saying, Lord, it's yours. I keep saying he can have it. Why doesn't he take it? Maybe it's time for you to try something different. Maybe it's time for you to come down and put it at the altar. Maybe it's time for you to turn around and kneel and get in your chair. Maybe it's time for you to just try something different, a different approach this morning, a different posture. Listen, a place of actual surrender. I believe that today can be your day to lay aside every weight, to lay aside every burden. I got a list of burdens here, things that I felt like God laid on my heart this morning before I headed over to the church. And if you would just close your eyes, and I just want you to think about these burdens. I want you to think about these things, and I want you to respond exactly how God prompts you to. If one of these is you, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And just be obedient to the call. If you want to lay it aside, you've got to be obedient to put it where he tells you to. For some of you today, that baggage is just sin. It's just that you're living a life where sin is still your master. You know that in your mind, you know that you're free. You know what the word says, but you're still obeying the sin. And some of you need to lay aside that baggage of sin this morning. For some of you, it's pride. For some of you, it's pride. It's that you're too puffed up. It's that you need to find that place of humility, of realizing how powerful and amazing and glorious and mighty that God is, and that it's by him and only him that you have what you have, that you are what you are. For some of you, that's addiction this morning. I want you to come forward and lay it down. If you have an addiction this morning, I want you to symbolically just come forward. I don't care if you even physically lay it down. We'll throw it away. We'll get rid of whatever we got to get rid of after service. But I want you to lay down the things that you're addicted to, that you're bound to, that have hold on you, because today we're going to declare you as free men and women in the name of Jesus. For some of you, it's anxiety. You think it's just the way that you are. It's just the things that you've been through. Listen, it's baggage that you're carrying that you're not meant to carry. Today's the day to give it to Jesus and to leave here with rest for your mind, that you don't have to be anxious anymore. For some of you, it's anger or bitterness. You guys have heard my testimony right about where I'm standing right here. I received freedom from anger. You know why? Because I was willing to actually give it up that day. I was willing to give it up. I was willing to come to somebody and ask them to pray for me as I gave that over to the Lord. And the Lord did a work in my life. If you struggle with anger, today's the day that you can leave here unhindered. For some of you, it's uncertainty or doubt in your life. You're uncertain about what God says. You doubt what God says. You're uncertain about what He wants for your life. You doubt what He wants for your life. Whatever those things are, today's the day to cast those weights aside and say, God, I'm going where You want me to go. I am who You say I am. I'll do what You say You want me to do. I'm going Your way. There'll be no doubt. I'm not going to be a double-minded person anymore, but today I lay aside that weight and I leave free in the name of Jesus. For some of you, it's fear. It's fear about what He might ask you to do if you respond to this altar call this morning. You're afraid of what that void is going to be in your life and what that's going to mean for you or how that's going to look to those around you. I want to tell you that this morning I believe that God can fill that space in your life, that you don't have to fear what is coming, that He'll fill every void. For some of you, it's insecurity or inadequacy. You just think you're not worthy. I want to tell you right now that that is a lie from the pit of hell, because you are worthy, because Jesus died for you on a cross and He rose from the dead to prove the Father's acceptance of the gift that He gives you of free life through Christ Jesus, eternally saved. That He offers that to you this morning. He says you are worthy. You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to question. You don't have to get the approval of man, because you have the approval of God upon your life. You don't need man's approval when you have God's approval. You just go where He tells you to go. For some of you, it's failure. And I want to tell you today is the day of redemption for failure. Wherever you have failed in your life, listen, today's the day. Today's the day to lay aside that weight of failure, that weight of thinking you can never come back from what you have done, because our God is a God of redemption and restoration. And today you can lay aside the weight of failure in the name of Jesus. We believe, Lord, that You will fill these voids in our lives. We believe that as people lay them down, as people come and surrender all to You, we believe that You will fill them with Your love, with Your joy, with Your peace, with Your purpose, with Your freedom, with Your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just say, come. We say, come. If we're weary and burdened in this place, Holy Spirit, we ask that we would find rest for our soul right now in Christ Jesus. Will You have Your way with our hearts right now? Will You have Your way with our minds? We just surrender it all to You. We give up that game of tug of war. We let go of the rope. We say, Holy Spirit, pull. Pull us across that line. Pull us across the finish line. Pull us across. We might need to land on our rears if that's necessary, but just give us a tug. Pull us across the line. Get us to where we need to go. We surrender to You. Will You have Your way? We love You. We praise You in Jesus' name.